It was the life and soul of Rainworth, and for kids our age, we didn't really have anything else. Practice twice a week at the drill hall on South Avenue, inside in the winter and then out on the grounds opposite, exposing our kazooing and parading prowess to the summer sun. And I was not any old kazooer. I was a chief kazooer. My dad came here to escape the noise whenever I was practicing. It got his teeth on edge, he said. Why couldn't she be on drums or the glockenspiel? But my mum knew that it was keeping me out of trouble, that it was keeping everyone under 18 in the village out of trouble. All the pit villagers had them then, the juvenile jazz bands. But the Rainworth Royals were something else. For a start, everyone was welcome. There were the tiny tots in the tiny costumes who walked out in front as our mascots and softened up the judges. Cuteness was not an official marking category, but who can deny the workings of the heart? There were some of those who were in their later teenage years, 21 even, and then the rest of us in between. And we had the numbers. At one stage, there were over 100 Rainworth Royals. We were the biggest band in the area, perhaps in the country. And half of us were playing kazoos with the little metal trumpet attached. The children of Rainworth in the late 70s and early 80s must have been the most well-travelled children in Britain. It seemed like just about every Saturday or Sunday we were clambering into the double-decker bus that they'd found in a farmer's field, managed to spark into life, and then got us to paint in our colours of purple and white. Always an early start in the morning, and then off to one of the welfares to face the opposition. The Mansfield Coronets, Broughton Nomads, Billsthorpe Legionnaires, Clipston Comets, New Ollerton Blue Jays, Edwinstowe Greenwoods, Kirkby Radtimers, Newstead Byronaires, Hucknall Yellow Hammers, Cockgrave Joypegs, Calverton Rascals, and, of course, the Blidworth Red Devils. We had a few that defected to them. They had more boys than us, and that was always the reason. They weren't very good, but they had a nice uniform. All the bands would march around whatever town or village you were in before you went to the arena for the actual competition. There would be stalls, and the St John's Ambulance would be there, and the police, and hundreds of cars. The places would be heaving, and you wouldn't get back again until the evening. And the first thing I did was go and look at the arena to see where we were going to march. You had around 20 minutes or so to show your stuff, and I'd imagine it. Me there with the band, playing my kazoo solo. The one that I practiced every night. The one that drove my dad here to the lakes. The little drummer boy. Pa-rup-a-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum. It was an important moment when I lifted that kazoo to my lips. Because as the years went on, things became more competitive between the bands. And if you wanted to win, you needed to do something that stood out. Most of what was played was upbeat marching music, but the little drummer boy was different. It was a slow march, and in a slow march, you're more exposed. Your faults can more easily be seen. But we didn't have any faults when it came to marching. They were very strict during the training, twice a week. They knew it was our marching and our numbers that would bring us glory. Thumbs down, arms and legs straight as ironing boards. You can always tell an ex-royal by the way they stand. Upright. My dad kept telling me that I should aim higher. that there was no glamour in a kazoo, and if I ever wanted to be the first Bond girl from Rainworth, not that I did, that I needed to be a majorette. To be fair to him, that's what most girls strove for. They had the best uniforms and led the band and had their Twizzlers. They had a swagger about them. And if you were a majorette, you knew you were pretty. But all I wanted was to play that tune on my kazoo as well as I could. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum. The instruments were all provided, the costumes too. We paid subs, but it wasn't a lot, and there was a committee, of course. And if you won, you would get a medal, and you would sew it to your sash, and the sashes of the Rainworth Royals were full of them. I was so proud of my uniform and always made sure it was clean. You had to. Half the houses in Rainworth had uniforms hanging out on the line the day before a competition, and you'd be applying the plimsoll whitener, hoping that it didn't crack under the weight of so many layers, leaving you having to scrape it all off and start again. It was so important, really, to what this place was back then, what it meant. We must have had competitions here 4 or 5 times a year, and as we all marched around the streets, the old people would come out and wave. Nobody was more important than anyone else. That was the thing. And even though when the kazoos started practicing, it was like some kind of biblical swarm of terrible insects was overhead, the village loved us and supported us and took us to their heart. But my dad struggled, especially during the strike. That was when he threw my kazoo in the water, here. He knew he'd made a terrible mistake when he came home, and the next day he told the committee how sorry he was and that he'd pay for the replacement. But they let him off, and he never complained about my playing again. I know it sounds silly, but it was so powerful when we played that song, and the feeling that went through my body when I lowered my kazoo at the end of the solo will stay with me forever, knowing that I had nailed it, that our section would come first again, that the band would come first again, that we'd have another trophy to carry onto the bus with us, that my sash would be heavier still with another medal sewn onto it. And you realise, as you remember these things now, all the people behind the scenes that made it happen. Those that raised money and made costumes and washed uniforms and marched alongside us and stitched those medals onto our sashes. It was all about the community. It really was. Such a massive part of so many lives. We finished before the pit closed. A lot of us got older and fashions changed, and there just weren't as many kids around as in the baby boomer years. The kazoo that replaced the one that is somewhere in that water is in my mum's loft now. Though I still hum that tune every now and again. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum, ra-pa-pum-pum.
Now we need to follow the lake round until you see a small wooden bridge on your left. Once you are standing on that, you can go to the next track. But before we head off, I have to tell you that yesterday I found out that there was another Joseph Whittaker who was also fascinated by birds and who was also born in 1850, but he lived in Sicily, not Rainworth. He married Tina Scalia, a glamorous woman who was friends with Richard Wagner and Benito Mussolini. He also had a collection of stuffed birds, some of which are in the Natural History Museum in London. Amongst them, a white-winged snowfinch, a short-toed snake eagle, and an Egyptian nightjar. He joined the British Ornithologist Union in 1891, so maybe the two Joseph Whittakers' paths crossed. Isn't it funny how all these things somehow find a way to weave together? Right, off we go.